President Trump made history this weekend when he became the first sitting president to step on a North Korean soil. Here he is speaking Sunday after crossing into the country with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
I just want to say that this is my honor. I didn't really expect it. We were in Japan for the G20. We came over and I said, hey, I'm over here. I want to call up Chairman Kim. And we got to meet, and stepping across that line was a great honor. A lot of progress has been made. A lot of friendships have been made, and this has been in particular a great friendship.
The steps came after a nearly hour-long meeting between the two leaders, and after everything was said and done, both parties agreed that they would restart negotiations over North Korea's nuclear program. Chris Reardon is an associate professor of political science at the University of New Hampshire and an expert on North Korea. Chris, thanks a lot for joining us.
Well, thank you for asking me to come on.
How big is the symbolic value here of the President of the United States setting foot on North Korean soil?
Well, what can one say? It definitely was a milestone, but photo opportunities do not result in concrete deals. It is good that the president is not calling Kim Jong-un Rocket Man, or that Kim Jong-un is not threatening the destruction of Washington, D.C. However, the walking hand in hand across the DMZ is symbolic, but one can only take that so far. There is so much more to go. There's so many more problems that have to be overcome. And this was, frankly, this was a very simple thing to do. And President Trump felt it was important to help to grease the wheels, to give Kim Jong-un a fill-up to help him come back to the negotiation table after the failure in Hanoi.
Right. We were at an impasse, basically. Where do negotiations stand, or what would be the next step in negotiations being restarted?
Well, first off, Hanoi, from what we're gathering, Hanoi was a failure because there was a feeling from that both Kim Jong-un and President Trump felt that they would be able to hammer out an agreement on their own. It doesn't seem that there were sufficient negotiations at the lower levels between the real experts who understand about denuclearization, who understand about the sanctions, who understand about U.S. forces and North Korean forces on the Korean Peninsula. Those discussions apparently were very limited. So when they got to Hanoi, President Trump, in the end, called off negotiations. He without issuing a joint statement like they had done in Singapore last year. So what needs to be done now is sometime, I'm not sure it's going to be this month because the Kim Il-sung's death is coming up in 4 days, and there's a big celebration for that, and there's going to be a celebration also for the 25th anniversary or the anniversary of the Korean Armistice Agreement that was signed in 1953. So there's toward the end of the month or the beginning of August, we might start opening up these working level negotiations and maybe begin to attack some of these major obstacles that the two leaders could not overcome in Hanoi.
American goals in the past have been toward some kind of denuclearization of North Korea. The New York Times has reported some administration officials are considering a nuclear freeze. In effect, at least for now, North Korea gets to keep what they have but not get any more. Do we know what we, the United States, are trying to get out of negotiations?
Well, first off, I've read about the New York Times report, and it, in many ways it makes sense because that the United States, as well as our South Korean allies, has promoted this idea of complete denuclearization. In fact, the South Koreans are still saying that this is the position of the South Koreans, and the United States has not said anything about a freeze. However, it seems that this is a less draconian strategy than complete denuclearization. Remember, several years ago when this all started, Ambassador Bolton mentioned that he wanted to use Libya as the example for North Korea, and which around 2003 that the Libyans gave up all of their nuclear technology and so forth. The North Koreans see what happened in Libya, that Muammar Gaddafi was brought down in 2011, and he was killed, and that's the last thing that Kim Jong-un wants. So they, frankly, were never, I never thought this was a possible solution to the Korean problems, complete denuclearization. However, step-by-step denuclearization, that might be something. A freeze might be something. You know, right now, we're essentially, we've already, both sides have agreed to freeze actions. The North Koreans have stopped, have frozen their explosions of nuclear weapons and their long-range missile tests. While the United States, while we don't talk about it, we basically have frozen our military operations, our joint military operations with the South Koreans. So, so then the question is, what will be the next step? And at these working level discussions, they're going to have to not only talk about the nuclear facilities in Yongbyon, which used to be under supervision by the International Atomic Energy Agency until the North Koreans kicked them out. But there are other facilities around Korea that we'll have to be tackling. So there's assuming that there's going to be these working level negotiations taking place, they're going to have to get into the weeds. They're going to have to be the North Koreans are going to have to be far more transparent than they have been in the past. And the United States is maybe going to have to be more flexible, including perhaps talking about a nuclear freeze.
We've seen a lot of efforts at negotiations with North Korea over the years. In our last few moments, Chris, do you see some grounds for optimism this time around?
Well, you know, we're in an interesting time period where the Kim Jong-un has solidified his relationship with the president of China, who just visited Pyongyang, the Korean capital, North Korean capital. I've had visits with President Putin. So I think Kim Jong-un has aligned his support within the communist and semi-communist leadership in the world. And President Trump is facing re-election, and he wants a victory. So I think there are certain people in the United States who fear that President Trump will have some type of an agreement and then declare that the solution has been reached and that he alone has brought peace to the peninsula. Well,
and well, thank you for joining us. That's Chris Reardon from the University of North Hampshire of New Hampshire, looking at President Trump's meeting with the leader of North Korea last weekend.